latter half of the Bible, on page 1071. It's John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 to 26. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he."
It's going to be better this time. Okay, why don't I start with a prayer? Keep those verses open. We're going to look at them to help us tonight, but a prayer first. Father God, we ask, please, that you would speak to us tonight so that we would be helped to believe what you're telling us about Jesus. In his name we ask it. Amen. We live in a thirsty world, don't we? That's what the Rolling Stones said. I can't get no satisfaction. It's what you too said. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Now, if you're sitting wondering, who are the Rolling Stones? And who are you two? Okay, what about Coldplay? Am I getting any closer? No response. Coldplay believes it as well. Chris Martin writes, you get what you want, but not what you need. Do you know the song? Fix You? Well, more than the song, do you know the feeling? You get what you want, but not what you need. I know that feeling. Am I the only one who knows that feeling of getting what I want, but finding out it's not what I need? We live in a thirsty world. It's that anticlimax that comes when something disappoints. When I've looked forward to the cup final and it's disappointed. When I've got the latest gadget and it's disappointed. When I've visited and caught up with someone that I've looked forward to seeing, looked forward to being with, looked forward to spending time with, and somehow yet it's disappointed. I wonder if that's how this woman that Jesus met in John 4 thought after 5 marriages, that each time she got married, that it would work, that it would be better, that it would satisfy, and that actually each one ended and a new one began. I wonder if with each man that came along, she thought, this time it will be different. No, this time it will be different. No, this time I've met the one. Oh no. Well, actually, I'm not even going to get married. I'm just going to stay put with this man who's not my husband. We live in a thirsty world. We look for things that will make us happy, give us security, give us satisfaction. You know, there is more than one kind of thirst. H2O is not all that we thirst for. I wonder where you feel it. Is it in relationships? Is it in the must-have gadget? Is it in fashion? Is it on Facebook? Is it success? Sport? These are all things that we can look to satisfy us, to satisfy the thirst within. And actually, in the context of the story that we had read, they are all different kinds of wells that we can go to satisfy our thirst. I wonder, what are the wells just now in your life? Have I hit any of them? Have I come close? At least the sensation of thirsting, I think, is hard to deny. And these wells become God substitutes in my life, in our lives, substitutes for God because we think they will give us what we need. The clip at the start said, "Where is our God?" Well, a wee bit about John's book, which is to say that one of the big ideas, probably the biggest idea in John's book, is that God has come into the world in person to show himself to the world, to make himself known in person. I don't know if you are film buffs. Again, this is a bit of a blast from the past, but I trust you might have heard of the name Alfred Hitchcock. He's a very famous director. And quite often what he would do in lots of his films, it's true, you can Google this, it's on Wikipedia, it's true. He used to give himself a minor role where he would move from being director to the other side of the camera. And just in one clip of the film, you would just catch a glimpse of him. He would be standing at a bus stop. He'd be in a train carriage reading a newspaper. He'd be smoking a cigarette in a restaurant. The director would step from one side of the camera to the other side, and you would catch a glimpse of him. Well, in John's Gospel, we're being told that God has actually stepped into the world and come to show himself to the world. God the Son has come in the person of Jesus to tell us about God the Father and to show us what he's like. And so the words of Jesus in John's Gospel are just the most amazing thing to be looking at tonight. And I want us to see what Jesus actually offers to thirsty people. And I want to just show us three things very, very quickly. The first thing is to see that Jesus offers a gift. JB highlighted it for us in his testimony. He realized that life with God, eternal life, was not something to be earned, but actually was something to be received. And that's the first thing that I want us to think. It's here in these verses. Look down at verse 10. When Jesus meets this woman at the well, he talks about, he says to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus is talking about giving a gift. And in verse 14, he explains it as water and as a well. Look at verse 14. Jesus says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This is amazing what Jesus is offering. Water that will quench our thirst. And water, verse 14, the last bit there, that will lead to eternal life. God's life. It's a gift. So what is Jesus' water like? It's both satisfying and it's sustaining. Jesus is offering the most amazing water ever. I don't know if you ever, go to Nando's or any of these places where they offer you a free refill as many times as you want, and it's like a bottomless drink, and you can just get it and again and again and again. Jesus is saying that what I can give you, what he can give you, is a self-renewing, bottomless drink of thirst-quenching water that leads to eternal life. That is what he's offering. That's the gift. The second thing is notice who the gift is to. It's there in verse 14. It's for whoever, verse 14. And also, it's for whoever and whatever. Whatever anyone has done. We see this very clearly in the fact that he's talking to this Samaritan woman. Look down at verses 16 to 18. And what comes out in the conversation? Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband. Come here." The woman answers, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have is not your husband." This is the Elizabeth Taylor of Samaritan women. Another old person, young folk, who was married lots and lots and lots. To this woman, a Samaritan despised by the Jews, who is shamed because of her lifestyle, Jesus is offering the gift of God. And that is meant to be a huge shock. To Jewish ears, the first readers, this would have surprised. I don't think it hits us the same way. But Jesus is showing that he knows completely everything there is about this woman. And yet, despite whatever she's done, she's being offered the gift of God. Jesus knows her present state and her past state, her sin and her guilt. She's broken, despised, failure. And yet he's still talking to her. And it occurs to me that is this not the love that the world looks for? Because the world wants to be known completely and still loved. And yet we don't want people to know us completely, because we think if they know us completely, they won't love us. Jesus knows her completely and is still talking to her, because the offer of God's gift is for whoever and whatever they've done. The who includes you and me, whatever we've done. There is no one too bad to receive Jesus' offer. So the first thing is it's a gift. The second thing, it's to whoever, no matter what they've done. And the third thing, is to see what it means can happen. Look down to verse 23. Where this gift leads, it means that we can worship the Father. Verse 23, Jesus says, "The hour is coming and is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." Jesus is saying that those who come to him, those who receive his gift, no matter what they've done, can be accepted by his Father, can have a relationship with his Father, will be welcomed as sons. That's what JB was trying to describe earlier, that he sees himself now taken in to God's family because of what Jesus has done. And that is us back at the start, the theme of John's Gospel, that Jesus is the Son who comes from the Father to offer relationship with his Father. And we make our response to his Father through Jesus. And that's why this woman is so excited right at the end, when in verse 25 she says that she knows one thing. She says, I know that we're waiting for the Messiah, the Christ, to come. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I am the one you've been waiting for. I am the promised one, the Christ. It's Jesus that makes it possible for us to worship the Father. So whoever drinks of him, whatever they've done, they can worship the Father. Jesus says, come to me if you are thirsty. I can give you the life that you're thirsting for. To sum this up, we've got Jesus sitting at a well. And he doesn't move from there. That is where he is for the whole of this encounter. And the woman goes away and she brings back her friends from the village and they come to Jesus. I think John is saying, Jesus is the well for the world to come to. And that leaves us with a challenge tonight. It leaves us thinking about what wells do we drink from for life. And Jesus' invitation is to make him our well for life. Now that would involve three things. First of all, it would involve turning from other wells and to stop thinking that these other wells will satisfy. The second thing is to go to Jesus. That's what this woman has done. Look down at verse 28. When the woman left, she left her water jar and went into the town and said, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Her excitement now is because she has found the Christ, Jesus, the one who she believes she needs. Now, if this is all new to you, then I would say the thing to think about doing next is coming to find out more about Jesus and the life he offers. And we run a course here called Christianity Explored, and I'd be more than glad to help you find out details about that or through the person that brought you tonight. Come to Jesus and drink from him. Drinking here is just a metaphor for believing in him, and it emphasizes that belief is active, to drink from Jesus. These words have been written to keep us turning back to Jesus and to turn away from other wells, thinking that they will satisfy. Jesus is the one who can give us what we need. Chris Martin, Coldplay, they got it right, sort of. You get what you want, but not what you need. He then goes on, I will try to fix you. And actually, these verses here tell us that only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can fix us. Let me pray. Father God, we ask for your help to believe these things which have been written, that through them we might find life, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he is the one who can satisfy, that he is the one who brings us into the family of God. Help us to drink from him and to make him our well for life, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, David. Well, our final hymn will be one which will be familiar to many of us, although the languages and the images really come from the Old Testament.